Robin McCarron.
Should we begin with the puking, or should we begin with the topics that will change the face of WWE forever?
Jeff Hawkins.
We are not here to talk about Curtis Hughes.
You're listening to Shake Them Ropes with Rob McCarron and Jeff Hawkins.
Nobody's listening for hockey talk.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Shake Them Ropes, episode 156. 156 episodes, Jeff Hawkins. Rob McCarron here, Jeff Hawkins to This Way on the old video. Welcome, everybody, for joining us live here on the Money in the Bank post show. And, of course, there's a lot to talk about. Jeff Hawkins will surely at some point bring up the fact that he called most of this pay-per-view.
I will not, actually.
Thankfully. Good. Good. That's good, because I would have had to bring up all the things that you got wrong on this pay-per-view.
You're lucky I didn't go undefeated or go perfect. Otherwise, I would have been incorrigible.
Yes, so you would have been, and that would have been very bad. Very bad for all of us. But yeah, we have a lot to go through. We have a new world champion, and then we have another new world champion.
World champion.
I was going to start the show with John Cena and AJ Styles. And that ain't happening anymore. That is not happening. We're going to start with this Money in the Bank. The new WWE linear heavyweight champion of the world, Dean Ambrose, wins the Money in the Bank match, cashes in the Money in the Bank contract tonight, which you suspected might happen. You did suspect that this could happen if Dean Ambrose was the winner of the Money in the Bank match. You, however, did not go. You hedged a little bit. You predicted Kevin Owens to win the Money in the Bank, and that not all to happen. So go ahead and let us know your theory into why this was going to happen. I know you talked about it a little bit of our pre-show, but explain again to those who may not have taken it seriously, because who would have thought it would have happened? Like, even you didn't think it was going to happen. So what was the thought process going behind that? If Dean Ambrose wins, why did he have to cash in tonight?
I actually thought he'd cash in much earlier. I thought he'd cash in before the match. I thought the Money in the Bank match was going to be first, and then if Dean Ambrose won it, he'd cash in later that night to make it a three-way. So I got this wrong in terms of the timing of it, but I thought that they'd pay off. See, that whole angle on Monday was either a red herring or it wasn't. And as soon as it wasn't a red herring, it was going to come true.
It was a red herring or it wasn't.
It wasn't going to be a drawn-out angle.
Right. Yeah,
they were going to get it done sooner than later, rather than draw it out. Because I was the way this match was built, and the way commentary was putting it over was so weird for me. What about you?
It was different because we didn't expect it.
It was the story of whether or not Seth Rollins was fully 100%, and you're like,
the whole angle was he was rebuilt. And he's coming back and he's 100%. And then you question whether he's 100%, which I can understand because he's coming back. It's his first match, even though there wasn't a lot of questioning whether John Cena was 100%, but a few times. It was an interesting dynamic because they certainly played up the Roman Reigns. He wasn't so much a heel. He was doing what Roman Reigns always does. But Seth Rollins was playing ultra babyface for much of this match.
And he was coming off as a heel with all the smack talking.
That's true. He was doing that. But also that's the same Roman Reigns we've been wanting more of, right? Where he's actually himself in the ring and he's doing that cocky stuff. So he's not maybe full heel, but he is being, it's very interesting with this happening now with the brand split looming a month from now, because now you legitimately have John Cena there in the top picture. You have AJ Styles still hanging around him, but in the world title picture on the top, you now have Dean Ambrose, you have Roman Reigns, you have Seth Rollins. Roman Reigns coming out of this as like the bad guy. Dean Ambrose, obviously the hero, and Seth Rollins, we don't know. Seth Rollins very well could be like, I got screwed again. This is the first time I lose it, and I lose it to a Money in the Bank cash in against Dean Ambrose.
You know, it's not just that. It's Roman Reigns comes out as a guy who can't hold on to the belt more than a month and a half.
He's a loser. He was a big loser tonight.
Yeah. Ambrose, who needed to go away for about 4 months so he could be rebuilt.
Yeah.
That's the thing, is he is a clown right now that has the belt. Mm-hmm. And JBL's commentary isn't helping, to be honest with you. His commentary is not helping, but the way that Ambrose has been presented the past since the Shield broke up, let's face it, since the Shield broke up, Dean Ambrose has been a clown, a prop comic, a guy who never wins a feud, and now he's the champion.
Right.
So,
whole bunch of props.
All I can think of now is transition. Who's he transitioning the belt to?
I'm not gonna go too far ahead because there's a lot to dissect here tonight. Even though I was the one who asked you about looking ahead, I understand the irony there. I understand that. Now Dean Ambrose's prop. It's not like he's done with props. Dean Ambrose's prop is the world title belt. That's his prop.
He has no championship credibility though. That's the thing. No. That's the weird thing. So it's
a lot of champions who have, you know, won Money in the Bank don't. CM Punk won his first title and he had no credibility.
Right.
No, and he didn't win it until the second time.
You're right. This is the classic toe in the water, half-hearted. He's the champion, but he's not the main event guy type of push.
Yeah. Well, what's interesting also is the fact that I was seeing immediate reaction on Twitter, and you can follow us on Twitter at Shake Them Ropes. We'll be monitoring the Twitter account tonight. We'll be monitoring the live chat room. If you're listening at voicesofwrestling.com/YouTube, there is a live chat there. So come on and join the fun as we talk about Money in the Bank. A lot of the reaction I was seeing on Twitter right away was, I can't believe they finally pulled the trigger on Dean Ambrose, and I don't want to be here and, you know, poo-pooing this party. I don't want to be I don't want to be peeing on everybody's parade here. This doesn't necessarily mean they're pulling the trigger with Dean, right? I mean, for all we know, he could lose it on Raw the next night, or he can lose it at Battleground, and they just use this as a storytelling device. Maybe this is the storytelling device for the split that eventually happens. And somehow one, you know, Dean Ambrose maybe goes to SmackDown and Seth Rollins and Roman go to Raw or something like that. If this is the pulling of the trigger on Dean Ambrose, that's great. There was one line during the show, and let me know if you caught this, Jeff, or it made any resonation, or maybe it doesn't matter at all. When Dean Ambrose was at Money in the Bank.
Okay.
JBL constantly talking about how WWE would not want him to be their corporate guy. You know, how is Dean Ambrose going to go on the Today Show? How is Dean Ambrose going to go on Jimmy Fallon? This is the exact situation of Steve Austin when he was the champion, trying to move him into the corporate champion. And I was thinking, like, if they're going to start some narrative like this, could it be possible that they're playing up Dean Ambrose as like a more Steve Austin, like, you know, not going to listen to what the bosses say, as a champion, because he's done this before, but now as a champion, could they be moving in that type of direction? And maybe this is going to be a more long-term thing for Dean Ambrose as the champ.
It's possible he could be the corporate stooge. It could also be possible that the authority decides that since Seth can't get the job done, they bring in Randy Orton. Those are the two things I was thinking right there.
Yeah, I'm wondering about this Dean Ambrose situation, but he is the new world champion. Dean Ambrose is the new world champion. Seth Rollins defeats Roman Reigns after a lengthy match. This pay-per-view didn't go off the air until 11:23 Eastern time. So 23 minutes longer than what your traditional pay-per-view window is. And we're going to start seeing more of this. We've seen it before. I can't remember which pay-per-view it was.
WrestleMania.
That's right. WrestleMania went late. So we're going to start seeing more of this, especially as they just stop caring about pay-per-view and just completely focus on the WWE network. It's like our network. We don't have to worry about what pay-per-view is going to do. And pay-per-view usually sets in an extra half hour anyway. They usually have the extra half hour block. It didn't used to be that way. You know, the famous Halloween Havoc misstep with DDP and Goldberg. It wasn't like that. But now with digital pay-per-view, you do get that extra half hour block. In some cases, I don't know. I haven't looked recently, so maybe that's even changed.
Okay, I thought you had to be off the air 5 minutes before the actual... Stopped.
Yeah, but now the whole game's changing, Jeff. Game's changing with this network.
Yes, now they're going to be killing my sleep even more, so it'll be great.
I know. It's absolutely insane. But hey, Dean Ambrose, man, just the world champion. But he is the new WWE Linear champion, that's true. Follow at WWE Linear. You can find out if wrestling was real like boxing, LOL. You can find out the lineal heavyweight champions. Anything of note in the match itself? Because we talked about a little about how the match is weird.
Yeah.
But I think this really does just set up the future, what they're going to do with Seth Rollins, Roman Reigns. And I don't know if all three of them are going to be paired together. Like, I have to think that, you know, one of these guys is getting broken away, and it may very well be Dean Ambrose, the champion.
Will a crowd ever be hot for Roman Reigns in a match again? Without turning him heel?
Yeah. Well, without turning him heel, no. Because okay. Now that's the thing. Why am I cheering you? You're a constant loser. You lose to everybody.
Yeah. I don't want to go like the Wade Keller route where, well, he has to have a heel run and then his face run will be better. I don't think his face run will be better after a heel run.
He doesn't have to.
I don't think that either. No. Yeah,
but if you're judging by history and it's a rough history and it's The Rock, Roman Reigns is not The Rock.
No.
But this worked for him and it worked for CM Punk. CM Punk's best face run came after his best heel run.
Yes.
So it works for some guys. But also, Roman Reigns is not CM Punk, and Roman Reigns is not. Hell, he ain't even Bray Wyatt.
What is the sum total of his title reigns?
Well, this one obviously was the longest. I mean, it was 6 months, though. Well, no, it was what? When was WrestleMania? April 1st to, because he lost at the Royal Rumble.
So this is a month and a half.
Yeah. Oh, God.
That's his longest title
reign. I can't believe WrestleMania is only a month and a half ago.
Oh, yeah.
No, 2.5 months. 2.5 months. Beginning of April, May, and June. 2.5 months. That's how calendars work, Jeff.
I was told there'd be no math.
It's true. That's how the calendars work. So I want to thank everyone who's joining us now. Take two. Some of you in the chat room got to see our little struggle of, you got to see some empty wall behind here.
You got to see some struggle. It's 100 degrees in the valley here, and I have my air conditioner off because Rob complains about the audio. That's a struggle.
I'm sorry. It's a nice crisp 79 here right now.
Up yours.
It might even be up to like 84 in this room.
Sipping on ice water, trying to keep cool.
Yeah, you should. You should sip on it. Rub it all over your thing there. We would
my Evolve t-shirt.
Your Evolve t-shirt. Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes, your Evolve t-shirt. But I want to thank everyone for joining us. This podcast is sponsored by MacWeldon.com. MacWeldon.com. Use promo code VOW for 20% off your first order right now. I know Father's Day is coming past, so if you were shopping for Father's Day, it's too late if you didn't get anything. Go call your father tomorrow and be like, I'm sorry, bro. I didn't know it was Father's Day. It was my mistake. There was too much happening today. There was basketball. Go Cleveland. Cleveland won the final. Now LeBron can go back to the Miami Heat. We got Cubs Pirates today. We got USGA golf. We got the US Open, which ended in all kinds of havoc. And we got this Money in the Bank show. We had New Japan Dominion today. There was a lot going on. So I understand if you forgot about your father, but visit MacWeldon.com. MacWeldon is better than whatever you're wearing right now. And you can get 20% off your best. It's better than what you're wearing with your Evolve shirt. No shot at Evolve. Evolve's great.
I'm not laughing at Mac Weld. I'm laughing at that. So if you forgot about your father today.
Some people may have, and I'm not necessarily talking by experience, but some people may have. You know, Mother's Day is more widely regarded than Father's Day, is it not?
Yes, it is, and they get the better gifts. So go buy
not even
some.
Better gifts, but it comes first. Everyone knows what day. I mean, you start hearing about Mother's Day 2-3 months in advance. Like, it was January this year. Christmas has just ended, and I'm like, oh, I already got to start thinking about Mother's Day. Whereas Father's Day is like it's Saturday. You know tomorrow's Father's Day? Oh, I had no idea. That's how it goes. Upgrade your wardrobe this summer at MacWeldon.com. Save 20% off your first order with promo code VOW. Do it now. MacWeldon, thank you for sponsoring this podcast that has already broken once, and we hope not to break it again. Jeff, Rusev and Titus, obviously the second most important match on this show. I did not actually realize, and maybe I should have, maybe this is just me completely going nuts here in the summer. I didn't fully realize the fact that, today was Father's Day. Titus O'Neil, the father of the year, gets the U.S. Championship match on Father's Day, and Rusev just crushes fathers everywhere.
Oh, yeah.
Crushes them dead.
In front of their children. I forgot about the match, to be honest with you. I go, there's that match that's still there, because someone had tweeted, well, I guess there's no cooldown match this time. So I'm like, oh, yeah, they're right. There it is. It's the three main event. And then Rusev and Titus O'Neil come out. I went, oh, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. This match is happening. Yeah. Well, you can put matches like that. You can move Baron Corbin and Dolph Ziggler to the main show. You can move Apollo Crews and Sheamus to the main show. When you're going to go for 3.5 hours, go for 3.5 hours. Why don't you? So you can do all that. Let's start at the beginning. I want to get your thoughts on this pre-show, because we did have the pre-show card shuffled around a little bit. We had Breezango, Tyler Breeze and Fandango going up against Golden Truth. And the story here was Golden Truth played around with their tanning bed that they had to tan in at the same time, turning it up high. They were sunburnt today, and sunburns hurt, man. They do. A lot of you out there in the summer, if you've been spending time at lakes or beaches or what, just outside, you know that sunburns hurt.
Have you ever seen Rob McCarron's sunburn, which he did a video once when you were sunburned and you got sunscreen on your bald head.
Yeah.
Or balding head.
I've been sunburnt.
Yes.
I've been sunburnt on this very show. It's out there. I'm not sunburnt now, thankfully. No. And sunburns hurt me a lot because, like, you know, I don't have a lot of shielding on the top. I don't have a ton of shielding. But they built this entire match around the sunburn. They built the entire thing around the sunburn. I thought it was fun that, like, the people weren't in the building yet. This was a 7:20 p.m., you know, 40 minutes before Money in the Bank actually starts. And I thought it was harmless fun. It was easy to put on the pre-show. I would have liked them to have a tighter schedule and maybe keep the pre-show the way it was and then keep the main show the way it was. But for what it's worth, what we got, Breezango, Golden Truth, perfectly fine. And the big payoff, this was the big payoff to, like, a month-long angle. Not even a month, like 5 months. Of Golden Truth teaming up, not teaming up, teaming back up, fighting Breeze and Fandango, and finally getting a win. And they celebrated. It was like the biggest moment of each of their careers.
Yeah, but it also kills off Fandango and Tyler Breeze of any moment.
It kills them off because the momentum they had.
Well, I'm not saying they had momentum, but...
You are. You're saying it killed off. So if they had it it was killed...
If they had any, which they were starting to get a little bit in this feud... All I saw was what the recap was because I was driving home. So
I didn't watch
the pre-show.
I will tell you, there's probably a ton of people out there that, like, why is this on the pre-show? Why did this match have to exist? It was harmless fun and Las Vegas kind of enjoyed it.
It's fine. It's fine. It's a fine match to put on. It's the comedy match. Let's move on. Unfortunately, now I think we're going to have to see more Golden Truth videos as they move on to another feud.
Probably. We're probably going to see it.
And they're calling superstars from the past because they can't build up Breezango. So there you go.
You want to have some names.
That's why I'm mad about it. That's why I'm pissed. Let's not build the guys we have. Let's call these 40-something-year-old guys and bring them in because they know how to work the style and they understand sports entertainment.
Yeah, the last time we had the rumor about bringing in guys was when Raw went 3 hours, and guess who was brought in? Nobody.
Yeah. Okay.
So what happens? Let's speculate, sometimes recklessly. The other pre-show match was the Dudley Boys losing to the Lucha Dragons, Kalisto getting the win. Kalisto has gone nowhere. All these teams, like, this pre-show was really like an episode of Superstars. It was, which is fine. It's WWE Network exclusive. Yeah. But Kalisto continues to be on his, did I actually hold the U.S. Championship or am I dreaming tour? This guy was the U.S. champion, like, last month.
Big deal. It's a mid-card title. Doesn't matter.
Well, Rusev is making it a big deal.
Okay.
Rusev is starting to make it a big deal. He really is. I'm on board on this Rusev train. Was
this match just basically standard tag team fare?
Oh, yeah. No, it was Bubba Ray being a bully, them being a bully on the smaller guys, and Kalisto getting the win at the end. Yeah, pretty basic stuff.
I was stuck watching an all-Asian version of La Caja Fall, so I was driving home.
Yeah.
Right, as that was happening. Okay.
Thanks, everyone, for joining the chat. You can subscribe to the channel. Hit that thumbs up button. It would be very appreciative of us, of you, if you hit that thumbs up button to like this video, which is just a train wreck of train wrecks so far with us not even being a part of the video for a minute. Baron Corbin. No, we're not there yet. We're at the Fatal 4-Way Tag Team Championship match. You had thought the New Day was going to win this going in. I don't even remember who I had. This was the match that was unpredictable to me. Like, any one of these four teams could win it. At one point, I thought the Vaudevillains were going to win it. And you could listen to the crowd. The one team. There was a point in this match where the Vaudevillains were the only ones in with Enzo. And I thought that might have been it because everyone was cleared out. And I'm listening to the crowd, and the Vaudevillains were the only ones the crowd would not have accepted as winning. They are still not won over everyone completely. Their entrance is growing on me. As far as a main roster entrance, they've lightened it up a little bit. They've gotten the little suits and whatnot. I like them okay.
Singing. It's the singing.
Well, the singing's got to stop. The scene's got to stop.
No, on our show last week, I said I thought Enzo and Cass would win, and then I changed my mind when I wrote the preview because I forgot they were putting over the record. And once you mention the record on TV, they're going to break
it. And they did mention it tonight. Yeah, you can't have Brian Kendrick and Paul London as your record holders.
No.
Nope. Same way you couldn't have AJ Lee as your Divas Champion record holder. Couldn't do it. Couldn't do it anymore. So the New Day do win. Everyone looks pretty good in this match. What happened at the end, though, like this was the match where you really did see the best of Enzo and Cass, but at the same time, you saw the worst of Enzo and Cass because you saw how they can captivate a crowd. You saw how big Cass can come in with his hot tag and just light the place on fire. But you also saw Enzo Amore not being able to do anything in the ring, like just looking out of place and uncomfortable. And also as a team, the timing of those two was not very good. And it really came into play at the finish because that finish was so mistimed that Luke Gallows was just staring at Karl Anderson being up for the big ending for a minute before Big Cass finally came in to take him out, which I'm sure was a planned spot. There was no alleviation. There was no deviation from what they were planning to do because it was just time was standing still. And that's where you see the worst of Big Cass and Enzo.
Yeah, the end made no sense because why would Cass bypass the two legal men to go after Gallows? And that's for me threw me off, and it lowered the match for me overall.
And I'm not lowering it like it was 4 stars and now it's 3 stars. Like it took me out of it. I was enjoying this match, and then I'm just instead of watching and seeing what's going to happen next, I'm staring at it. I'm like, well, why is that guy just standing there? Why is Big Cass coming in, not attacking the two legal men? Who are the legal men? Because the legal man didn't end up getting pinned at the end of this match.
Like the visual of Big E picking up Anderson was great. I thought that was really, really cool.
And the double team was cool.
Yeah. Yeah. It was just, and then all of a sudden Cass comes in, looks at the two of them after he's had him on his shoulder for about 15 seconds. It just goes after another guy. And you're just like, wow, okay, fine.
It was just a long time. It was a long time, but they ended up, you know, getting the tag team win. The New Day are the tag team champions still. And we move along because
you need to build a division now, I guess, because they've beaten all three.
Well, that's what I'm wondering.
Do you build up the Bullet Club now?
Well,
the club?
In a month, we're going to have all these guys on different shows. This is really a weird, it's a lame duck month because any storyline that happens now won't have momentum unless the same program gets moved to the same show.
Yeah.
If you have a New Day Vaudevillains feud, they have to go on to the same show or else it's a 1 month thing. And I think we're going to see that. I think we're going to see some 1 month programs going into Battleground that just are done in 1 month. And you may get your Vaudevillains tag team shot again. Same thing they did last month at Extreme Rules. You may see a 1 month program here throughout the show.
Worse ending. This one or worse blown kind of delayed spot, this or that Natty to Becky Lynch tag where Natty is just kind of crawling in place for about 10 seconds waiting for, I think it's Dana Brooke.
There were some blown stuff. There were some blown stuff in this show, but you know, I think the good far outweighed the negative overall, especially when you end the show.
Overall, it was a fun pay-per-view. Don't get me wrong on that.
Right.
Just being nitpicky right now.
Yeah. When you end a show, the way they ended this show, because that'll be a moment that you go back and watch. You go back and watch that moment of Seth Rollins winning and then Dean Ambrose cashing in. Cash-ins are cool, man.
Not if they pull a Zack Ryder tomorrow and take the belt off of him.
But this is a little bit higher profile.
Okay.
A little bit higher profile. I trust that they won't do something like that. But cash-ins are cool. Cash-ins are moments that you'll go back and watch. You really will. What was cool too in that opening, the New Day come out on the microphone and they reference the Elite. They mock kind of the club and reference the Elite, like they're the Elite tag team. And we may sometimes undervalue just how exposed the Bullet Club is. And the Elite is not like it's been taking over the US. The Elite as a trio, the Young Bucks and Kenny Omega, have been taking over lately New Japan Pro Wrestling. But it's not like they themselves are this big faction in US Pro Wrestling outside of Ring of Honor. And even there, Kenny Omega's not there all the time. When the New Day referenced the Elite on this show in Las Vegas in a T-Mobile arena, the crowd gasped. Like they immediately got the reference. They immediately knew that the Elite was in reference to the club and that it was a shot at them. Like, they gasped, and I was stunned at that. Like, I can hear, you can hear some cheering here and there and a couple of hand claps, but they, that collective Los Angeles or Las Vegas arena gasped.
I didn't think too much of it because of the Twitter back and forth between the two groups.
Yeah, but you're expecting 20,000 people in the T-Mobile arena to beef about the Twitter?
I didn't hear the gasp.
I'm not. Oh, there was a, am I wrong here? People in the chat room, tell me, or at Shake Them Ropes if I'm wrong.
I was also on my phone watching.
That may be it. So. There were times during the show where I was on my phone because I was watching Game 7 of the NBA Finals. I was watching a little bit of the Cubs Pirates. So
I was driving home during this.
You were driving home. Yes. You were driving home, of course. But yeah, no, I heard a gasp. They got a gasp from that crowd. And you don't get gasps like that very often. So that was a cool moment. I liked that tag match until that ending just completely took me out of it.
Yeah,
completely took me out of it.
I agree. It was, and you know what? Enzo is, it's almost a weird listening to them on, I think it was either Jericho or Austin's podcast where Enzo goes, I know my role is to get beat up and never get any offense in. And then to tag in Cass. I don't think he's ever gotten an off. He got a DDT in and I think he got a couple of moves in before he got killed again. But yeah, no, he rarely gets offense in. Everything is just to feed Cass for a high tag. It's a fascinating dynamic.
Baron Corbin and Dolph Ziggler.
Okay.
Baron Corbin and Dolph Ziggler, it's like we're seeing the Apollo Crews Sheamus feud reversed. Sheamus being the vet.
All right.
The bad guy vet. Apollo Crews being the feisty newcomer. Mm-hmm. Wherein with Dolph Ziggler, Dolph Ziggler's the feisty vet. Baron Corbin is the newcomer here. But he's not trying to slip on a banana peel to beat Dolph Ziggler. He's trying to go fight him. Yeah. Whereas Apollo Crews is the guy getting a win over Sheamus by kind of just one-upping the veteran. And it's a little bit in reverse. What about the dynamic of Apollo Crews getting a win? And we'll talk about Baron Corbin, Dolph Ziggler, even though it was a nothing match. I didn't really think anything of it, and it's finally over. But that finish of Apollo Crews and Sheamus, I guess, is what I really want to talk about. Because it was weird.
It was terrible. It was terrible.
Apollo Crews. Yeah, Sheamus is just like, I'm beating him up so bad, whatever, whatever. And Apollo Crews, and he loses his focus. Apollo Crews just uses that, capitalize. You can call it smart. You can call it capitalizing on a mistake. Mm. But I just feel like Apollo Crews should be more than that. And maybe we shouldn't feel like that anymore after the last couple of months of Apollo Crews on TV.
No, this is what they've done. You're misreading it in comparing it to Corbin and Ziggler. What you should be comparing it to is Kalisto and Sami Zayn, because it's the same playbook that they've done. This was the same way Sami Zayn won to get into the Money in the Bank match. This is the same push that they had when Kalisto was the U.S. champ and he was beating the League of Nations. It's the same thing. They always, it's the David and Goliath. David never gets a strong win. He pulls out the roll-up win and it's like, oh my God, it's the biggest win of his career. And you're like, not really.
Yeah.
Because we've seen it so much now. It's not that. It's not exciting to see the small guy get a fluke win.
No, it's not. We want to
see him get a strong win.
We have Chris in the YouTube chat saying he was at the Sacramento Comic Con yesterday with the Big Show panel. Big Show was at the Comic Con, apparently. And he had some interesting things to say about how unimportant wins are. And that's a growing sentiment within WWE and, you know, not only wrestlers, but agents and management. If you somehow follow Road Dogg on Twitter, he's an agent in WWE, and he is railing. He talks continuously about how wins don't matter. Wins and losses don't matter in WWE anymore. It's all about character. It's all about the television show. And what I'm asking, and what fans are asking, like, that's, to me, that's super short-sighted. Wins should be part of the character. Wins should be part of the continuing dynamic of the show. Wins and losses may not matter, but at some point that means you're going to have less depth in the characters, and then characters won't matter. Like, that's next. Characters won't matter. And then what are you going to say? Characters don't matter?
Wait, most characters don't matter.
Well,
two or three characters matter. The belts don't matter. Wins and losses don't matter. The only thing that matters is the brand right now, which it kills me that Big Show's saying this.
Yeah,
right
but now. The only thing, the WWE brand is all that matters right now, because for the last 10 years, we've devalued wins to the point where they don't matter, as Road Dogg is saying.
No,
you,
I agree.
You think when Road Dogg was winning tag team titles that he didn't think wins mattered? Like, he would just go out on Raw and lose every night and people would still care about them?
Well, look at who the champ is right now and tell me that wins and losses matter.
I know.
Yeah.
Well, and right now, I mean, the champion is Dean Ambrose, and wins and losses don't matter as much to him, because at some point you will have the exception. You had it with Bryan Danielson. You had it with CM Punk, really. The crowd just kept getting way behind him, because you have those weird situations of when losses actually do build momentum for a following of somebody, because they want you to stop losing. Like, yeah. They're like, we know these losses are backstage and behind the scenes stuff, and we want that to end. But yeah. A guy like Apollo Crews doesn't have that. A guy like Dolph Ziggler doesn't have that. He's not going to get that groundswell of support, because the fans don't care if he wins or loses. You only get that for a few certain guys. You're starting to see it in NXT with Ty Dillinger. I mean, Manny Andrade's debut was completely ruined because the fans wanted Ty Dillinger to do so well, and he didn't.
Well, they had the Ziggler revolution already, and what they were told was, you're wrong. And
we're going to make him lose again.
It's going to be. Yeah.
Well, he had a concussion, and that kind of put an end to that.
Yeah,
that's the other thing, kids. Don't get concussions in WWE, because you will lose your championship after no thought. You will not be on TV when you have, Sasha Banks right now is finding out a lot about that. Concussion, not even her fault. She can't get back on TV.
Mm-hmm.
And she's ready to go. And it looks like now you got Becky Lynch and Natalya. We can talk about the women's tag team match. You got Becky Lynch and Natalya going up against Dana Brooke and Charlotte. This continued your streak of picking the right winners, by the way. Dana Brooke and Charlotte win. No misgivings with Dana Brooke and Charlotte, really, as far as one costing the other in full. And now, everyone thinking that something might break with them, you have the breakup of Becky and Natalya after their love fest over the last couple of weeks. And that seems to be the program. There's one hot women's program right now. It's Becky Lynch and Natalya, if you can call that hot. What does the champion do? There's no one left unless you bring back Sasha Banks, unless you put Paige in there. Because guess what? Paige just beat Charlotte last week.
You know what it made me realize? Possibly. One of the reasons they probably didn't bring Bayley up is they just gave Becky Lynch the Bayley storyline.
Lose, 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 lose. Get beat up by everybody. Can't
get
find friends.
Get turned on by every partner you have.
Oh.
Yeah, that's the Bayley story. So now she, yeah.
Well, because what they're going to do is bring up Bayley as current Bayley and not understand why fans got behind her in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
That's what they're going to do. And Barry in our chat room brings up an interesting or a good point, kind of in a very simple way, going back to what we were talking about with storytelling, with wins and losses.
Mm.
He says, how and why are more important than who and what?
Yes.
And that's absolutely true.
No, that's absolutely true.
Did you say that and I was just not listening?
Well, not here, but I've said that before, because that's actually one of my most, when I teach improv, that's my most important lesson that I teach people. Nobody gives a crap what or who or what you are right now or whatever. It's the how and the why. It's your motivations. Yeah.
Right.
No, thank you, Barry. Please. No, I love that note, and it's true.
Did you guys catch that there? Jeff was hidden bragging about teaching improv. He's so good at improv that he has to teach it to others.
Oh, no, I coached it yesterday, so give me a break here. I don't know. And there were rumblings of maybe Nikki Bella coming back, but still.
There were no rumblings of Nikki Bella.
Really?
There were no real rumblings of Nikki Bella.
Okay, then those were.
There were no real rumblings of Nikki Bella.
Those were the usual suspects.
Yes,
then.
There were no real rumblings of Miss Nikki Bella.
But it's like one of those things where it's like, okay, well, you've taken now a storyline from NXT and ported it up to the main roster, so you can't use that character.
Charlotte,
and who does Charlotte move on to now? Because you're just like, okay, are we going to bring back Sasha, who's languishing over on main
Sasha,
event?
Maybe Sasha and Paige, because you still got Dana Brooke hanging around. What is she going to do?
If we stop with this Paige stuff, please.
Could we?
It's
maybe.
She's the Dean Ambrose of the women's division.
Ooh.
She needs to be rebuilt.
Without using props, you said.
Without using props, but she's, she comes out and she loses or she wins and then it doesn't matter. We've seen it. It's like, okay, great. Do something with her then. Because I think they're still mad that they made her that whole focal point that ended up into the Divas Revolution. And they just forgot about her because she didn't live up to whatever it was they were looking for.
You remember how cool it was when Sasha Banks did her little like New Japan style return at Royal Rumble just to show up and challenge Charlotte? Like that program was over. I'm challenging you. And then Becky Lynch got involved and it was a three-way and Sasha never got her one-on-one with Charlotte. And who knows if she will ever. But I can't help but thinking, like, I'm totally losing focus right now because I'm wondering, like, I'm thinking YouTube channel, new show, Jeff teaches improv.
No.
I want to put it online. Why you don't want people to see it? Oh, okay. Yeah, that's right. The master never gives away his advice for free.
It's not just that. It's improv's a live thing. I don't want to do it on
improv
YouTube.
Improv is a live thing. You're right. I have never been to like a real live like improv show. Like I've been to comedy shows, but I've never been to like a real like, you know, there's an improv troupe somewhere.
No, go to Chicago, go watch TJ and Dave.
And I'm close enough to Chicago where if I went there for a day, like I probably should go.
Uh-huh.
I like comedy. Who doesn't like comedy? All those people watching the pre-show tonight. That's who. But I can go. I can go one day. What else we got on this pay-per-view you want to talk about, Jeffrey?
What's next? Well, you didn't talk anything about the women. I did most of the talking. What did you think of it?
It wasn't what I suspected because you couldn't suspect that Natalia was going to turn on Becky. Like that literally was out of left field.
Yeah, I don't know. Becky is still. Someone wrote as Becky Sting. I think I've mentioned that once or twice too. I just don't know. They're not building the Becky character at all out of all these beatings, supposedly. They're not doing anything really with Charlotte other than building up the Brooke tension. Natty, do I need to see another Natty match in my lifetime? Not really, right now.
We have I Am Meta Ian on the chat room saying, if Rob can't put over the undercard, no one can. And this undercard was just there. Like I liked the tag team match until the finish took me out of it. And other than
I thought this show was a show of two halves. I thought the first half wasn't good, and the second half was pretty darn good.
Once AJ Styles and John Cena got in there, because AJ Styles, that's the last one we have, AJ Styles. And then I've put on questions. I will say one little quick thing about Dominion, just because there were some WWE ties to that here at the end. But AJ Styles and John Cena lived up, I think, to the expectations I had for it. It was really cool. It was a fantastic match. And it was the first one. They did not end up doing what they did with Kevin Owens and John Cena, where Kevin Owens got a clean pin, surprising everybody. AJ Styles did win this match. He went in as a heavy favorite. There was some weird betting line action for those websites that do actually take bets on WWE. AJ Styles was a super heavy favorite, so some people may have suspected that AJ was going to win somehow. But after all that talk about the contract, I think we discussed this a little bit on the preview show. AJ Styles just couldn't help but get help from the club to actually beat John Cena.
Well, remember, he didn't ask for it either.
Oh, yeah, he never asks for it. And he never says it's going to happen. It just happens.
I didn't mind the end. I was a little disappointed by it, but I didn't mind it. I thought
because the match was so good.
The story was fantastic.
The match was so good.
It was absolutely fantastic, especially those first few minutes where AJ's just saying, look, this is my ring.
Yeah.
I'm better than you.
I'm better than you.
That was such a compelling story.
And he makes it work because so many times is it like, I'm a better wrestler. CM Punk was kind of this way. Like, I'm just a better wrestler. And it never works. Yeah. But AJ Styles, it makes it work because he has the most credibility out of anyone, which is crazy. He's only been there for a short time, but he does have super credibility. And you had this match really work. And then AJ Styles can say he beat John Cena. It's two Money in the Banks in a row where John Cena suffered a loss to a New Era guy. AJ Styles, by the way, only 40 days younger than John Cena, representing the New Era. And you have now room for rematches. Maybe one, maybe multiple, especially if they end up on the same brand. So now after that finish, is it possible you see them going all the way to SummerSlam?
I don't know if they pay this off at Battleground, but I think they might.
Yeah. And again, we're in a lame duck status because both of them could go to different shows.
Mm-hmm.
Both of them could go somewhere else. And now you have a Battleground like that could be if John Cena goes to one show and AJ Styles goes to the other. It's like, this is the last time, but it's also top guy on one brand, top guy on another brand.
Yeah, for me, the two things. I loved the attitude adjustment into the calf crusher.
Yeah.
Oh, boy, did I squeal with delight on that one. And
that calf crusher spot was crazy because You know, we remember the talk when AJ Styles stopped using the Styles Clash and was getting over that calf crusher as his finisher for 2 months. This is why. This match was why he had to work so hard to get the calf crusher over so that it could be a realistic finish for when he has to try and top John Cena.
Yeah, I like guys having more than one finisher. I do. I think that's a nice little tool to have in there. The other thing is, I just remember, speaking of New Japan, all the talk when he was having those great matches, you know, with Tanahashi and Okada and Naito and in the G1. Oh, it's all because of Japan, the guy he's... Yeah, in New Japan. It's all the guys he's in the ring with. Mm-hmm. AJ Styles is still the same AJ Styles from TNA. He's good, but he's not transcendent. I strongly disagree.
No, AJ Styles is proving.
He is still, to me, possibly number one on the list in voting for Wrestler of the Year after the 6 months he's had in the WWE.
He's fantastic. And every performance, even the matches with Chris Jericho that I didn't love, and I thought Chris Jericho and AJ Styles matches were kind of sloppy, they were still entertaining. They weren't bad. Yeah. I couldn't wait to like get that match off of my television.
And I didn't blame AJ for that. I blamed Jericho for it.
Yeah, not even getting into a blame game. It's like, well, they're not great, but they're still good. No. It's still good. As far as Dominion, they referenced the Elite. The New Day referenced the Elite on the show tonight. And the Elite did not have a very good night as a group at New Japan Dominion. The Young Bucks won. The Young Bucks are the junior heavyweight tag team champions. But Kenny Omega, the flag bearer of the Elite, lost his Intercontinental Championship to Michael Elgin, who was a backup for the injured Hiroshi Tanahashi. So now you have a lot of Ring of Honor connection, too.
Not a good night for the Bullet Club anyways, because it's them boys.
Them boys.
Oh, yeah.
Yep. Former WWE wrestler Camacho losing his tag team title with his adopted brother.
Yes, the Gorillas of Destiny.
Gorillas of Destiny. So as far as Dominion, I mean, Rich and Joe, the guys at Voices of Wrestling, will talk a lot about that this week on the podcast. We will. You can ask us our thoughts on Twitter at Shake Them Ropes, or Jeff is at Crap Game 13. If you want details on that, this has been a fun Money in the Bank pay-per-view, basically carried by the final hour and a half. Yeah. The final 2 hours, if you will, with the overrun. I mean, God, they're longer overruns than Raw now. Longer overruns than Raw. It's craziness. Yeah, I'm tired.
The end of the Cleveland Golden State game.
Yeah.
Translated perfectly to that Rusev Titus O'Neil match that didn't really matter.
No, well, in a way, that's maybe that went into the thinking of having this your main event run after the NBA championship game.
I think so.
Because no one's going to watch this right now, and we need people to know it about it now instead of Tuesday, because we got a show on Monday that we need people to know who won the championship, and we need to create buzz. So let's get this NBA championship out of the way.
Yeah, I'm sure that's going to be around the water cooler tomorrow morning.
Yes, we did. I did watch Dominion throughout the day. Not all in one setting, but throughout the day, I watched the matches. Because coming from the YouTube chat, I appreciate everyone who joined our YouTube chat. If you haven't already, hit that thumbs up button. Tell your friends about our live shows. Hopefully, the next one, I'll figure out what was going on with the internet tonight that disrupted our show twice. Hopefully, I've cleaned it up on the audio feed, the audio podcast. Thank you all for listening to on our audio feed on iTunes, TuneIn, Stitcher, everywhere. Get all the info at Shake Them Ropes. Jeff, anything else that you want to tell the people about your weekend, your Money in the Bank viewing experience, or your plans for your future self?
What kind of question is that? No, send me questions. I'll talk about it. I'm watching Dominion tomorrow, so we'll see how that goes.
You're watching Dominion tomorrow. I am off to watch part 4 of the OJ Simpson 30 for 30. I'm trying to get through this thing. I got to get through it now. But for all those who joined us on the live stream, I appreciate it. Thank you so much for joining us. And if I can actually find the stop streaming button, I will end this show, end this misery of not having internet. Yes. Thanks, everybody.